You know that song that we were just singing, Jesus, I am so in love with you, and I'll stand in awe of you. You know, that's, do you know what precedes that? That he's in love with us. Amen. You know, whether we are in love with him, he's still in love with us. Do you know that? And we don't have to, you know, our worship pleases him, and our acts of service please him, and our disciplines of prayer and Bible study, those things please him, but they don't earn us his love. He just loves us. He can't help himself. That's his nature. That's what God does, is he loves. I hope that we understand that. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Beginning in verse 25. We know this story as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Now, I think that's important that we understand this, who this is that's asking these questions, inquiring these things of Jesus. An expert in the law. This was a man who was who had studied the Bible, who had studied the Old Testament scriptures, was obviously an expert and very learned man in the law. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And I've been going over a sermon series dealing with loving God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Now notice right there, he doesn't say, believe this. Hello. And you will live. Is anybody awake out there? Is that word not just jumping off the page at you? It did me. Do this, and you will live. Don't believe it. Do it. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Can you hear the arrogance in that question? And who is my neighbor? Come on, let's see what you got. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Probably had a schedule to keep, you think? So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Jesus said, and the Word of God says, love God, love neighbor, and or another way to say that is to love people. Do this and you will live. So this expert in the law asked the question, this I think in arrogance, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus teaches this story that most of us have heard. And I preached on this a couple of years ago and talked about how we've actually, when we went to Israel, we saw the mountain region that was this area, this from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it is indeed a mountainous, treacherous terrain. You can see how people could be hiding up in the rocks just waiting for someone to round a bend. The priest was on his way to, you know, isn't it amazing? He's on his way to preach. He's on his way to do God's business. And he doesn't have time for this beaten and battered person laying on the side of the road. The scripture even says half dead, was beaten badly. The Levite, who was the assistant to the priests, he passed by, and he saw him, which seems to indicate he kind of checked on him. He kind of looked at him, got a little closer look, but then he kept on going, passing on the other side as well. But then this Samaritan, who was, by the way, Jesus doesn't tell us, and I think for a very specific purpose, he doesn't tell us the nationality or the affiliation of this man who has been beaten. He just says a man. So we don't know exactly who this man was. And I think Jesus left that out on purpose. It doesn't matter who he was, does it? A man, beaten, in need, suffering. And this Samaritan who, when Jesus tells us a parable, friends, we need to pay attention. He's teaching us. Did you know that? And the New Testament is full of Jesus' parables, and he's teaching us. He taught through stories. This Samaritan, he used that example specifically because he knew that the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were despised. And so he used that example to say, even this guy who you despise had mercy when you, the church, had no mercy. I decided to continue the sermon series that one more Sunday, tell the story. Thought I was wrapping it up last week, but this story, by the way, comes directly after the passage that I used for the sermon series, tell the story. Love God, love people, offer them Christ. And the bottom line is, how do we offer Christ? Who do we offer Christ to? And this very story that follows that teaching, Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan. So the question that this arrogant teacher of the law asked, who is my neighbor? So I want to ask it this morning to you. Who is our neighbor? Who is Christ telling us to offer Christ to? I want to look at a few. I pulled a few photos that I want you to look at. Is that man our neighbor? Would he fit in with us very well this morning? A couple of years ago, a few years ago, Mark Hewitt, who is the guy at Love and Care Ministries, homeless ministry, poor ministry in town, I had Mark come over and dress as a homeless person. How many of you were here that Sunday? Mark dressed homeless and just cuddled up. It was cold. It was in the winter. And he just cuddled up in a corner out by our building. And I just wanted to see what we'd do with him. And I got to tell you, I was proud of our church. I was really proud of our church. I had people, it's funny, I was buzzing around getting things ready for church, and he was out there. I knew he was out there. And I'd have people come in, and they'd go, Jeff, there's a homeless dude out in the front yard. What do I do? And I said, I don't know. See what he needs. And about a minute or two later, Jeff, somebody else, there's a homeless guy out in the front yard. What do I do? I don't know. I stayed out of it. You guys deal with it. And before it was over with, no one knowing this was Mark, many people know Mark in this church, but no one knowing it was Mark, he had another guy with him, and they invited them in. It was cold outside. They invited them into our church, told them where the restroom was and the coffee and the donuts, and we had donuts back in those days. That was the good old days. And then he was later invited into our church service. And I praise God that someone had that kind of heart to invite. I mean, he looked nasty. He smelled nasty, too. And Mark was ragging on me. He knew that I knew who he was, and I went over to him. After everybody had invited him into church, and I said, I went and met him, and I, how you doing? And he shook my hand, and I said, would you like a cup of coffee? He goes, I want some hot chocolate. And I said, well, we don't have any hot chocolate. Well, I want some hot chocolate. And I said, well, we got coffee, and it was funny. Mark ended up later that day, I introduced him, and he came forward to preach. And I remember starting, and he looked not a whole lot different than this man right here. And I remember saying, we've got someone this morning that doesn't seem to fit with us, and you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody's like, he's right back here. Anyway, he came up, he pulled off his garb, and he preached to us about loving the unlovable. Who's our neighbor? Go flip to that next. Is this man our neighbor? It looks to me like he's looking out from a prison cell. Go to the next one, Lee. How about this little girl? Is she our neighbor? What a precious little girl. Okay, Lee. Think that lady looks like maybe she's been forgotten. Is she our neighbor? How about this man? Another story, love and care story, about 10 years ago. I took a youth group to a deal with Mark, and we did a deal called Life on the Street. And we actually spent about, I don't know, it wasn't quite 48 hours, probably 35 hours on the street. It was safe, but we simulated being homeless. And I remember the culmination of our weekend, we went to their church Sunday morning. And I had we had a dozen or so youth, and we went into their church, and it was, and all sorts of people were coming in of all flavors, and homeless and everything. And I remember as we were getting there for church and others were getting there, I remember looking across the parking lot, and these kids were watching as well. And there was a man looked almost just like that, and he was laying in the parking lot on the asphalt. That's where he had spent the night. And I remember about church time, I remember him getting up and going through his sack, his trash sack, and he found a clip-on tie. And he clipped on that tie, and he came to church. That was the best he had to offer that morning, was that clip-on tie. Is that man our neighbor? Go to the next one. How about this family? They look like they might be living in that car. Okay, Lee. Now, he's not flipping the bird, I promise. Take a good look. That's the sign for I love you, I think, right? Sign language people, isn't that I love you? First time I saw that, I, whoa, hey! No. You've probably seen some folks like this around our town. Some of them really want food. How about this guy? That's an honest homeless person right there. Now, we struggle with that, don't we? That with the guys that we pass by, and we struggle. Oh, they're just going to buy drugs or beer with it. Well, okay, maybe so. I'm not telling you to go out and open your checking account and start writing checks to these folks. I'm telling you, Christ is calling us to love our neighbor. And neighbor can look a lot of different ways. I want to tell you, if we're honest, church, if we're honest, here's what our neighbor tends to look like for each of us. I want to show you this. I'll work my way around. That's what our neighbor generally looks like to us. Kevin, some are uglier than others. I'm no... Oh, Kevin, he's got you beat over here. Sorry. We have a winner. I'm just kidding. For y'all that are visiting this morning, I'm just kidding. I love these guys. I see it all the time. We don't mean to. We really don't. I believe with all my heart we don't mean to. But we tend to migrate to those that look like us. Even I see it in fellowship meals. I see it on Wednesday night. And again, I'm not trying to scold anybody, because we all do it. I do it. But when you get your tray of food and you turn and you're looking on you Wednesday night folks, what do we look for? We look for a table where we know somebody. We look for a table where we'll be comfortable. Don't we? Where do we sit on Sunday mornings? That's what we do. Our neighbor looks like us. And that's not what Christ... And I'm not scolding you because I'm listening to my sermon this morning. Christ is calling us beyond that. He's calling us to this sacrificial love of neighbor. What does that look like? I'm going to hit this quickly because I think I went over some of these points on this scripture a couple of years ago, and I don't want to belabor it, but I want to just hit some highlights of this scripture. The first thing is that Jesus says a true neighbor cares for hurting people. They're on the lookout. And there's many times we'll see someone hurting, like, wish I had time today, or that might cost me something, not just financially, but I might be embarrassed. Hello. So, I might be embarrassed if I deal with this, if I deal with him or her. But Jesus, telling his parable, he said, he saw him and he took pity on him. Second thing, Jesus says a true neighbor gives of his time, his energy, and his resources. He doesn't just care. You know, I would love to know what the priest and the Levite were gonna preach on that day. They were going to the tabernacle. They were gonna do church. He probably talked about loving neighbor or something. You think? I don't know. He doesn't just care. He gets involved. A neighbor takes action. Do this, and you will live. Go and do likewise. Do you hear the proactive doing? Be the church. Be the neighbor. Third thing, Jesus says, a true neighbor gives of his stuff. We like our stuff, don't we? It's my stuff. It's my stuff. A neighbor, a true neighbor that Jesus is talking about that loves sacrificially realizes it's God's stuff. It's not my stuff. It's God's stuff. Fourth thing, Jesus says a true neighbor follows through. Do you know, he tells this story that the Samaritan, he tends to the man, he bandages his wounds, he gets him to the inn where they can take care of him, he gives them money to take care of them, and then he goes on to take care of what he was traveling to take care of, and he says, when I return, he didn't say, here's a few bucks, take care of this dude, I'm out of here. He says, when I return, I'll take care of the rest of it. Anything else that needs to be done. A good neighbor, a humble servant that Christ is teaching us to be, knows there's a difference between knowing and doing. You know, I love this. He, a teacher of the law, an expert in the law, he knew up here all about God. He had it all. I mean, he did. Jesus said, well, what you want to know what means to inherit eternal life? What does the Word of God say? He didn't hesitate. He threw it out. Love God, love neighbor. He knew it. But was he doing it? I want to ask you, what do we know up here that's not coming out in our life? There's a man in town. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. There's a man, I call him Van Man. And if truth be known, your pastor hadn't ever checked on him. He's over in the Circuit City parking lot. Anybody seen Van Man? Probably don't even know he's there. He lives and he's got one of the old good time vans. You remember what those are, Alan, don't you? He's got one of those big vans, and he lives in his van in the Circuit City parking lot. And I know that we've had a couple of ladies in our church that have checked on him. You see, it's not just up here, oh, love God, love people, offer them Christ. Oh, got it. They've lived it. They've lived it out. I know that they've taking him food and got him showers and a place to stay, even though he won't stay permanently anywhere else, but a place to go and clean up and rest and be cool for just a little while. His name's Kenneth. He has a name. Imagine that. Van Man has a name. I bet he has a story too. I'm not telling you to go adopt every homeless person that you see, because most of them, they're choosing to live on the street. That's the life they've chosen in many cases. What I'm telling you is what Christ has taught us is love our neighbor. Love our neighbor. You want to be my disciple? Love your neighbor with this sacrificial, humble love that costs something. And not just money, but costs us time and energy and maybe irritation, maybe getting burned, maybe someone that we give the $5 to as we pass them on the street, maybe they do go buy beer with it. Maybe you get burned. Maybe you help somebody, you give somebody some money to help them pay their rent when they're down on their luck, and the next thing you know, you see them out, you know, buying something extravagant that they shouldn't be spending money on. I mean, we get burned sometimes when we love, don't we? There's no guarantees. Do you notice that there was never any mention of, did the man even say thank you to the Samaritan? We don't know. Was he appreciative? Did he get well? Did he come to Jesus because of that? I mean, we don't know. But we know Jesus is saying, love like that. You want to love your neighbor? Love like that. How are we doing, church? I think I see so many positive things we do. I want us to get beyond, we do some things at the church. We do some good things. And I remember one time I did this or whatever. I want us to look at ourselves. How are we doing? Are we loving like that? Let's pray. Father, you set the bar high for us, Father. I'm reminded that the only way we can love like you is to be empowered by you, to have you dwelling inside of us. Father, just help us to love like that. Help us to identify. Lord, I just pray right now that you'd place it on each of our hearts and each of our minds who needs to be loved by us. Maybe it's somebody that's really, really hard to love. It's so different from us. Maybe we'll be embarrassed to even say anything, to get involved. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to press on. You'd give us the courage to love like you do. Show us who our neighbor is, Father. May we be the church. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would stand as we close this morning. I'll be down front if you want to talk to me about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, more about our church. If you would like to come and pray while we close, the altar's open. I'll be forward.
All to Jesus I surrender. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all.
introduce y'all to Sheila Ford. She's been coming to our church now for a few weeks, few months, and I have seen the Lord at work in Sheila for some time now, and she's come this morning. She accepted Christ at a young age, but she has not been walking with Him. She comes this morning to rededicate herself to Christ, and that's exciting. And I want you to know, Sheila, He's never left. He remains with you and has been with you and will go with you in the future. And we've prayed that prayer of rededication. I just want y'all to come by and greet her as you leave this morning. So if you'll just make yourself available as I close. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You that You are the good neighbor. Now, Father, show us how to go and do likewise. Go in the name of Jesus and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Faith arises, we wait upon the Lord.